So now we start the third chapter of the service marketing series. In chapter 3, we will talk about how to identify customer needs and requirements. And this is, as we've been discussing, the most important and starting point of your marketing. You need to understand your customers. Who are you trying to reach out to and who are you trying to sell to? So are you trying to sell to maybe 40 plus men working in MNCs, living in Mumbai, Bangalore, Delhi, or other such metros? Or are you trying to target housewives living in tier 2 and tier 3 cities? For example, Meesho. Meesho is an online social commerce service provider, and their primary target is housewives or retired people living and working out of their homes. So both these targetings and customers groups are very different. And until unless you really understand who your customers is and what their needs are, your marketing campaign, be it service or be it product, will not be successful. That's what we will discuss in chapter 3. We will talk about SMART characteristics. We will talk about the rater scale. So let's discuss how to identify customer needs and expectations from a service. So first of all, as I said, we will discuss the SMART concept. Now you would have heard about SMART concept in terms of setting goals. We all say SMART goals. Goals should be SMART. Now SMART is an acronym which stands for specific, measurable, achievable or attainable, you could say. R stands for realistic and relevant, and finally time bound. So the SMART goals concept could be used in marketing research as well to be able to identify your customers and your customers' needs. So once again, SMART is an acronym: specific, measurable, achievable, realistic and relevant, and time bound. So specific stands for specific is what would state clearly what you want to achieve. So you don't have to be vague about what you want to do. Your goals and your plans for your business need to be specific. You should be able to clearly articulate what you are trying to do and achieve for your business. Unless you're able to do that, your prospective shareholders, suppliers, investors, or customers will not be able to understand what is the problem or what is the vision that you have as a business. And that specific, that goal needs to be measurable. So you need to define and set tangible measures to enable you to know when you've achieved your goals. So for example, you just can't say that I want to grow my business next year. You want to say that, okay, I want to grow my business 3x next year. Or you want to say I want to reach to 2 million customers next year. Or I want to acquire 50,000 new users for my app in the next quarter. So your goals, your targets, your aspirations need to be specific and measurable. And they also need to be achievable. For example, if you are today at 10,000 paid subscribers, which you have acquired over the last 2 years, you can't set a goal of adding 2 million new subscribers in the next quarter. That may be possible, but to achieve that scale from 10,000 in 2 years to 2 million and in 3 months, you have to change the entire game to a whole new level when it comes to resources, spending, and activities to reach out to prospective 2 million subscribers. So is that an achievable goal? If not, if you're not really going to change your strategy too drastically, you could say that, okay, you want to acquire another 5,000 in 3 months. That could be achievable because the first 10,000 have given you a runway. So now in the next 3 months, with some targeted strategy, marketing, you may want to add another 5,000. So a goal has to be achievable, specific, measurable, achievable, and it has to be relevant. So you need to be able to relate and set goals which would help the organization to improve aspects of the business. You can't have goals which, even achieved, are not really going to influence the growth of your business or the customer perception of your business. For example, We discussed about Meesho being a social commerce company selling through a distribution channel that comprises of women and retired professionals or even young workers and employees who sell to their own friends and family. Now, Meesho could set a goal that they want to acquire maybe a 5,000 seat office in Bangalore by the next one quarter. That's a good goal to have. The company is growing. They want a larger office. But that larger office may or may not be relevant to the growth aspirations of the company. That could be a necessary goal to have because you want to accommodate more people. You want to give your team better infra. But that is not directly relevant and hence can't be your key goal. So your goal has to be relevant, which improves the aspects of your business and can take you closer to your growth goals and closer to meeting your customer expectations. And finally, the goal has to be time bound. We've been seeing the example in 3 months, in 2 years, in 1 year. You need to set a time bound goal. You can't say, I want to add 5,000 new subscribers. Now, when do you want to add 5,000 new subscribers? 1 month, 3 months, 3 years, 30 years? Nobody knows that. So how do you really measure performance and effectiveness of your marketing campaigns? It has to be time bound. You want to achieve something in a day, in a week, in a month, in 14 days, in 3 months, in a financial year, in 10 years. You need to set your time, your deadline for achieving a goal. Hence your goals for your marketing campaign, for service marketing, like any other goal, has to be smart, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic and relevant, and time bound. So then we move on to understanding your customers. So there are three things that you want to understand when we talk about understanding customers from a marketing research perspective. First, the basic, who is your customer? Who is going to use your service? Who is going to buy your service? And also, who is going to influence your service? For example, let's talk about a health insurance company. Now, if you are in health insurance company and you've come up with a health insurance package for people above 50. Now, people above 50 would have people above 50 who are still working, who may be in the early 50s, late 50s, or even in their 60s. You would have women, housewives who've never worked, who are also a part of above 50, moms. You would have retired professionals who would have been in a government service job or even private job and now would have retired after 60. Self-employed people who now would have given up on work and now are living on their savings, pension funds, or with their children. So now these people above 50 are your primary customers. They are the ones who would be using your service. But not all of those primary customers are going to pay for their insurance premium, right? The ones who are working could do. The ones who are living off on a pension or a fund or savings could do. But given our country's social hierarchy and structure, the family unit, it could be the working sons or daughters or even grandchildren who would pay for that insurance premium. So they become the payers for your service. So you have the actual 50 plus men and women who are your customers for the senior citizen health insurance policy. Then you have the sons, daughters, and grandchildren who would be payers. And then you could have doctors who would recommend the health insurance policy to the payers or the users. So doctors become your influencers. They are the one who would be pushing the sale of your insurance package. So you need to understand all three. You need to understand who is going to use your service. You need to understand who is going to pay for your or buy your service, and can you have an influencer who could help you break the ice and sell more confidently with assurance to your buyers. Then you need to understand what is or why the customer wants to buy the services. So why would a son or a daughter need to buy health insurance package for their aging moms and dads? What is the need for them? Why do they want to do that? You know, understand their thinking process, their thought process. What are they looking for, and why are they considering to buy a health insurance package now when their parents are above 50 or above 60 or above 70, for example? And third, what is their preferred mode of purchasing your services? That will determine how you're going to market your service product. For example, you talk about insurance product. Now, there are now a lot of insurance companies who are primarily online. Now, we always had LIC, we had ICICI Prudential, we had HDFC, Bajaj Allianz. Now, they flourished basis a large on-field staff, right? They would have service centers, offices across cities, multiple offices in each city. And you would have advisors, you would have insurance sellers who would go and meet customers physically, explain them the benefits. That was one way of selling insurance. And then over the last few years, as technology has become an important part of every service business, you have companies like ACO, you have companies like Digit, companies like Ditto, who are selling only and only online. So you would see their online advertising campaigns on TV, their ads on social media, their ads on search engines, and you would go on their website and the entire transaction is online, right from submitting your documents to verifying your KYC details. Everything happens online. All this is because of some research that these companies would have done, because the kind of users that they want to target are users who are comfortable researching for services online, choosing services online, and paying for services online. So these three questions are what you really need to answer. Who's your customer? Primary, secondary influencers. What or why are they looking to buy a service? And what is their preferred mode of purchasing your service? You should be able to answer these three when it comes to truly accurately understanding who your customers are. Then you should be able to understand what they think about the organization. Now, this is the assurance factor, the trust factor. We'll talk about in the rater scale in a bit, but you need to really think that what do they think about the organization, because how they perceive you as an organization, as a service provider, is going to influence their decision makers. For example, if you talk about insurance, a lot of people in India are still very confident about buying life insurance from LIC, right? LIC is a trusted name. If you go to smaller towns, villages, people trust LIC to buy life insurance. Now, somebody like a Digit, if they're going to sell life insurance, they have to compete with that perspective. They have to compete with the giant, because the customer looks at LIC and Digit differently. So how does your customer think about the organization? That's going to influence whether a customer chooses to buy from you or not. So as I said, we will talk about that trust and assurance in the rater concept. Now, the rater concept, now there are several different ways that you could categorize what customers want and value. So one of the popular ways of doing that is the rater scale. The rater is an acronym. This focuses on five service attributes: reliability, so R stands for reliability, assurance, tangibles, empathy, and responsiveness. So reliability, assurance, tangibles, empathy, responsiveness. Reliability is, are you reliable enough? Are you able to deliver on the promises made? Can you make the customer feel confident that you will be able to deliver on the promises that you are making? If you are a telecom operator and you say that you will get internet and telephone coverage wherever you go in India, so can the customer feel reliable that if they are traveling on a vacation to a mountain area or the remote part of the country, they'll still be able to make a call to their loved ones, or will they still be able to access their work emails or, for example, Facebook or Instagram to upload their vacation pictures? So is your business reliable? Assurance. Again, assurance is what we spoke about. Can the customer trust you? Tangibles. So are you able to quantify your service benefits? So are there parameters that you can prove that your service is a notch better than the nearest competitor? Empathy. How do your representatives, the people who are the face of your organization, react with customers and understand the customer's pain? And finally, responsiveness. Are you responsive to customers' emails, calls, messages, complaints, or do you choose to ignore them or maybe answer them when you please to? So are you responsive? So as per the Rater model, there are 5 service attributes that you need to focus on to be able to market and sell your services: reliability, assurance, tangibles, empathy, and responsiveness. So reliability factor. Now services, as we said, are intangible, and to be able to really market them, you need to make them look tangible. So add tangible parameters, quantifiable metrics that give them a tangible form. So an organization delivering services must be reliable in their service. So they should be able to deliver what they promise to deliver. It's a value factor which customers look at. So in case a person plans to purchase insurance, the person would want to be assured of the reliability of the insurance company, and if the person can rely, then assurance being made. So can the person rely on them? So when you see that you are able to settle 99.5% of claims within 7 working days, can you prove that to the customer? Can the customer rely on that claim that you make as an insurance company? So the trigger for decision to purchase can be anything, but the reliability factor is always the prime factor. This is because you don't get to test the service when you buy the service, unlike a product where you get to touch and feel the product. So hence you need, as a buyer, you need to rely on the service provider that they will come good on their promise when the time comes. So reliability factor always becomes the prime factor which the customer would identify to when purchasing a service and when he or she experiences the service. Then we have the assurance factor. Now, assurance from a customer perspective is, can the customer be assured that the decision to purchase the organization's service would be the right choice? So if I, as a customer today, choose to purchase my insurance policy from a new company like Digit or ACCO, is that the right choice to choose a Digit or an ACCO over an LIC or an ICICI Prudential? They have been trusted insurance service providers and brokers for decades. So am I making the right choice as a customer? So how can these new providers assure me as a customer to choose them over decade-old or century-old providers like LIC or ICICI? That's the assurance factor, and then the tangible factor. So the front office staff, especially the front office staff, are the people who are directly interacting with the customer face-to-face or on a phone call or on a chat in these days. So they have a major impact on how the customer views the organization. So smartly attired people, for example, or well-groomed representatives, for example, leave a very positive impact on the customer. So that is what the customer feels. That is something which the customer can view. That's in some way physical. When you walk into an insurance service office or a telecom service center and you meet the representatives, so how smartly groomed and attired they are, that gives you confidence and that gives you a perception of the quality of service that they can provide. A shabbily dressed front desk executive will not give you a lot of confidence. You will feel that the service would be equally good or equally bad. So how do you add tangibles to the intangibility of the service sector? Then the empathy factor. So empathy, in other words, is understanding the customer's pain, the woes, and assuring them of the same, understanding their needs and requirements, and making them feel that they are being heard and would be assisted. So make them feel that you understand their pain and you are there to take care of their needs and their challenges. And finally, in the rater scale is the responsiveness factor. This factor implies that to what extent can the organization and their employees are able to offer quick services and solutions besides the willingness to help customers. So when I come to you as a customer with a complaint, I expect to be heard and listened to instantly and resolve my problem as soon as you can. The solution comes later, the response comes first. So are you responsiveness enough to pick my call, to answer my email, to greet me physically when I come to a service center? If there's a delay, then my perception about the service deliverability, the reliability, and the assurance, they all change. And I may then start evaluating other competitors. My word of mouth about your company would then not be positive. I will not give a good reference or a good feedback if somebody asks me about the service quality and reliability of the company. So responsiveness becomes important. So these are five service attributes in the rater scale: reliability, assurance, tangible, empathy, and responsiveness. Then we also have something called as the critical incident report, the concept or the report. And these are trigger points in a customer's journey of using a service. The critical incident is a concept where customers are approached by research agencies who conduct marketing research on behalf of an organization or a service provider, or in some cases, when primary data is being worked upon, the organization, a provider, could directly approach the customer and ask them to share some of their service experiences with them or with other competitors. So the organization comes to know the customer experience during interaction with the company or with the competitor. Experiences where the customer was either very satisfied, or experiences when the customer was dissatisfied. For example, if I ordered something on an Amazon or Flipkart for somebody's birthday and I did not receive the product even 2 days after the due date, or I received a defective product with I not having time enough to replace and get another working or functional product. So that's a dissatisfied experience. So if a competitor to Amazon or Flipkart, for example, Tata, would come to me and ask me questions about such critical incidents, I'll give them the information and they'll be able to understand on why I was dissatisfied as a customer and what could they do to foolproof their process that such incidents of dissatisfaction do not happen with their customers. Similarly, if there was a positive experience, they would want to understand how they could replicate that or could go a notch better to make customers happier and acquire customers from competition. So customer relationship surveys are the best way to go and reach out to customers and collect information. So customer opinion and feedback are two of the most important factors for any organization. And this could be collected through surveys. It could be either online, email surveys, web surveys, nowadays even mobile surveys, or it could be physical questionnaire that a customer may fill when they walk into a service center, or when a service rep visits the customer, or with third-party agencies asking customers in malls, shopping centers to fill out those questionnaires. The customer relationship surveys define a very important aspect in the service industry, which is the customer life cycle. The different stages of the customer's journey of choosing a service and using a service. So the organization needs to know what their customers think, which would enable them to retain the customer and enhance the revenue of the organization. So they need to understand each of the stages involved in the customer life cycle, from the stage that they decide to evaluate service providers, why and when or where they choose and buy a service, and what do they really think and evaluate as customers and users when they start using or experiencing a service. So that's about chapter 3. See you again in the next chapter. Thank you.